Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, New York City's independent theater podcast. It's always great to see something new from Flux Theater Ensemble, and their new show feels especially timely, if unintentionally so, as we discuss in this episode. Flux is currently at the New Ohio with their production of Adam Simkowitz's Marian, or The True Tale of Robin Hood. And I sat down after a performance with actors Kevin R. Free and Matthew Trumbull, as well as fight choreographer Rocio Alexis Mendez. Take a listen.
I like to have everyone's name on the mic. Here we are. Who we have?
Kevin R. Free.
And you did what on this here show?
I played Prince John.
I am Matthew Trumbull, and I was Sir Theo the Punctual and also guard number one.
Rocio Alexis Mendez, and I choreographed the fight scenes in this beautiful show.
All those names.
Sir Theo the Punctual, too, is another name. You never get called that in the show, do you?
I never get called that. I never get called by my name. Either guard number one or Sir Theo the Punctual. And we never learn where that name comes from. I don't want to ask Adam.
In Adam's script, though?
It's in Adam's script.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Maybe six drafts ago, we knew more.
And the show is Adam Simkowitz's Marian, or The True Tale of Robin Hood. It's above my head, and I didn't even look. I got it right, didn't I?
Nice work.
Yeah. So obviously it's Robin Hood, and obviously it's not Robin Hood exactly. So we don't have Adam here, obviously, but what can you tell me about, like, kind of, did you guys meet with Adam? Did you guys kind of have conversations about what this was? Because I'd love to get like a little bit of backstory for people who do not know the piece yet, although you should know the piece very soon because you should come see this. What is this version of Robin Hood all about?
Okay.
Put words into the playwright's mouth for me.
Sure.
Adam's cool. He'll
Kevin,
like it.
Kevin is a playwright as well.
Ah, yes.
Yes, he is.
I feel he should speak for it.
That's funny. Well, I've also been in talks with Adam on my blog about this play. But the thing that I like to say about the play to people is that it is the story of Robin Hood that explores the binary in almost every sense of the word. So, meaning there are characters there are actors who play both men and women in the play. There are characters who don't identify as men or women. And the premise is that Robin Hood and Maid Marian are the same person, have always been the same person. So it talks a lot about, it speaks a lot about gender dynamics. And then in the thing we all know about Robin Hood is the class story, that there's rich and there's poor, and that's it, right? And so the poor are robbing from the rich and giving it back to the poor. So that's another way that the play is already about the binary. I think, does that cover it?
I think you're spot on, brother.
Okay, thank you. Woo, I'm in it, so.
It's a good thing you have any idea of what's up.
Yeah. I think the Prince John world and the Merry Men world differ. It's not just good versus evil. I think it's conformity versus a big tent acceptance and that the Merry Men have, and that the Merry Men are full of people who don't fit in but have found a group of people who have their back, and that's a very rare thing in this world. If you feel like you're not like the other people around you,
yep,
it feels not safe. But the Merry Men, I think, feel safe with each other. For guard number one, the play was for guard number
one. It's really about guard number one.
Yeah, it's really, it's about, guard, okay, so there's this guard. He's the first guard. For guard number one, I think doubt creeps into his heart as the play goes on. He's like, I'm with the
bad guys, and yeah, we're supposed like to be a like certain way, but team. I don't feel that way. I'm not on the right team. Mm-hmm.
Also the rich people, Prince John's court, is it's a volatile situation. It's not a place where anyone feels safe, partly because the prince is not the prince. He thinks he's the king, but he's really the prince. And then he is a cuckoo bird.
and I feel like we're all kind of dancing around the fact that it's February of 2017. When you're performing this, so like, can we kind of go at that? I think the parallels to the current state of affairs are.
You mean Black History Month?
Yeah.
Frederick Douglass was just outside.
He's amazing.
He's done an amazing
job.
He's
such a sweet guy, and
protesting this play.
And his favorite character was Guard One. Actually,
he's a big fan of independent theater. So obviously, Flux did not program this for this moment. This took a lot of work, and I can't wait to talk about the work that you did. But before we get into that, like, this is a. Where this play resonates, I think, in a different way than it would have if results had been different in November. Did that creep into the rehearsal room and into discussions with Kelly and with Adam?
Oh, interesting. No. Did it?
Well, you made...
I wasn't around a lot.
I would like, when Kelly and I would have meetings about, you know, concept of what we were doing, it would come up in conversation, definitely. Like, oh my God, this is crazy how... This is so relatable to like what we're going through right now, and this kind of like, a time of businessmen and people speaking of greed and like control and all that stuff is like happening right now.
And the cuckoo bird in control, conformity versus the people who have found a tribe, even though they're all sort of different people.
Yeah, everyone,
it's endless appetite, I think, for Prince John to be loved, even as he oppresses and controls with fear. He's still, why don't they love me? Why don't they love me? I don't understand why they don't love me. That is, I don't know, feels similar to...
Right. Because of playing Prince John, I actually really love and have lots of compassion for Donald Trump.
Do you?
Yes. I'm sorry, we're not supposed to say his name.
You're
right. Oh my God, there he is behind you!
I actually feel that, you know, the LGBTQ community also, like, lately has been coming out more, too, like... Transgender has been such a bigger deal in this country and like in this city. I know it's been like everywhere. It's like gender neutral bathrooms and like even that kind of thing is just more potent lately. Maybe we're spoiled because we live in New York City. We're around that all the time. But I just noticed that more and more. And it was just really cool that as we were doing this, I was like, this is like perfect timing because that's an issue that's been coming up more and more in the city and nationally as well.
You know, the thing that I believe as a playwright and as a playwright who identifies as a Black gay playwright who often writes about the intersection of those of sexuality and race, I think that often my work is too edgy for the world. Right? There are people who want to do it, and then there are people who are like, you know what, no, I don't get it, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to do this, and I don't know what you want from me when you want to talk about race on the stage, right? But what I do believe about 2017 and beyond is that we are now entering a time where artists don't have to work as hard to make themselves irresistible. You know? I mean, this is the thing that I say to young artists all the time. Make yourself irresistible. Don't be afraid to invite people to your work because you worked hard on it. And yet, Barbara Walters said it first. She's older than fire, and she said it first. But the thing is that you work really hard on something, so you want people to come to it. And I say that to people all the time. And we don't have, those of us who are writing work that is socially relevant, we now don't have to work as hard to be irresistible. We just are writing plays really now and say, hey, guess what? Please come see this because we all need to be in a room together laughing and crying and appreciating that something creative came out of something that we think the times that we think are so dark. Now.
That's beautifully put.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Very beautifully put.
Thank you. And before the election, I was Black and gay. And after the election,
you remain
black and gay. And while it has felt a little bit hopeless, it feels more hopeless when I'm reading Facebook and reading articles and watching Fox and watching CNN and watching NBC than it does when I'm sitting in front of my computer writing something, or when I'm in rehearsal doing a play like this, or when I'm watching a play. It feels worse because I think that we are still in mourning for the world that we thought we were going to have, that was going to magically appear because we had a female president. We hung our hats on the black president, and then he had to go away. He didn't do all the things that we wanted him to do. So we thought, okay, wait, there's gonna be a woman president, so let's hang our hopes on that, and then the world is gonna change, and there will be no more sexism, and because, you know, we failed at eradicating racism. So maybe there will be no more sexism if this woman wins.
Wait, there's still racism? Really?
And then she didn't win, and now we're all like, oh my God, yeah. Now there's no hope. Well,
and it feels like it's swung really hard in the other direction.
Of course it has.
I mean,
this is why La La Land has so many nominations.
I don't really care.
Sorry, I'm not going to talk anymore.
I'll step in. Now I feel
too black.
It's so good, though. What? What you're saying is so great. It's great.
This is where I kind of wanted to... I mean, this show, to me, I think is a perfect blend of not shying away from the socially relevant issues, and at the same time, I can't put it as perfectly as you did, Kevin, but... You don't have to work as hard to make it irresistible. This was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is
yeah.
a great, fun,
so fun,
exciting show with tons of really great acting and a really brilliant script and killer choreography that is just a blast to watch. But at the same time, like I said, you can't ignore where we are right now as you watch this play because it resonates too strongly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, you guys, you're making it irresistible.
That's and even good. Joy, even joy these days feels somewhat defiant. To me, it does. The day of the Women's March, where the world, you know, stood up and was heard, we were in rehearsal all day and we were not able to march. And that was hard.
No, it wasn't.
Well,
it was as hard for me not to march as it was for me not to do fight choreography.
You had a couple rigorous scenes there.
Yeah. I did.
So, but you know, I was like, oh, we're doing this play, and people are out there and shouting, but we're in here. And then I realized, this is a statement. I mean, the joy of the show is a statement too, and. We live in times where allowing yourself to laugh is a political act because it feels like we're not supposed to because of the president and his actions in office, and also the internet is not a happy place right now, and humor isn't getting to the surface very often. So it feels like a bit of a revelation, I think, when people come here and realize, oh, I forgot about comedy. I forgot about what it's like to release in that way.
Mm-hmm. In that way, y'all are doing very important work. I mean, not that it wouldn't be important otherwise, but it feels even more just important now to be doing this sort of thing.
I think so, too.
Talk to me a little bit about what's going on stage physically. This is a very, I know I'm kind of like making a big kind of left turn here, but I feel like the style of choreography actually really helps that joy and really helps tell the story in a highly theatrical way. There's no metal swords clanging around. Everything's wood. Mm-hmm. There are no arrows being shot. However, arrows are definitely shot. Mm-hmm. There's lots of really great, like, bits in there. Bits of, again, theatrical is the word I'm going to keep going back to because it feels so fun and celebratory of the fact that we are on a stage. You and Kelly set up the whole thing. I don't know if that's in the script or not, but with your Guard One's introduction as a herald to the show, you set up this theatrical mm-hmm. world. And Rocio?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was worried I was going to get it wrong. Rocio, you really helped that with what you've done with your choreography on stage. So what was this like to put together? Is this different than any sort of fight choreography you've done before? Or talk to me like where your ideas were with Kelly in how you staged the fights.
Well, first, the two fights, there's two fights that are huge and basically everyone's on stage. So we definitely were like, we need to make sure we have like a narrative to really tell us a story. That was number one, is make sure the audience's eye goes to where it needs to go and not too much distraction and kind of just like random fighting everywhere.
But it still feels busy.
And, yeah, no, totally. Like, and that was all time. That was all time. And the wooden swords was a beautiful, happy accident because we were going to get metal swords. And then, like, later on, you're just like, you know what? Everyone's feeling really comfortable with these. It looks great. It's going to save our budget like crazy. You know, well, and we were just like, let's just keep the wooden swords.
It fits with Will's set, I think, you know? A lot better.
Yeah, no, I think that's another reason why is because that whole thought of like the trees in the forest and Sherwood Forest and like these kind of these swords emerge from that world, that wood and that forest and all that stuff. And I think it worked out really, really great. When I read the script and found out about the arrows, I automatically thought of that. I was like, all right, this was gonna happen. Like, there's no way we can have arrows. So that was just something I was like, I've seen like a knife throwing little trick like that I've used before. And I was like, we're just gonna use that. You know what I mean? And I think that works really well. Sometimes giving the audience like the benefit of the doubt and letting them use their imagination is really great. You know?
That ties back to this joy that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And like the first reveal, actually Guard One is the first one to take an arrow.
Yeah.
It's that reveal is not only your brilliant acting, it's also, oh my God, they did that effect. Like that's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun.
There's so much so like joy in when we as an I feel like when we as an audience are let in on the theatricality, when it's not like, holy cow, how did they drop that chandelier? Mm. It's more like, oh my God, that's how they did that.
Yeah.
And for example, I don't know if this was a mistake tonight that you all covered brilliantly, or if it was part of the show, because it was hysterical, was when the hat is first removed for Robin.
Oh yes, in the prison.
Was that a mistake tonight?
It took a while for her to get it off. You mean?
Yeah.
There was a butt scene with that.
It was the best mistake ever, though. Like those are.
It should be easier to take off.
Did you hear? Could y'all were
I
on
heard
stage.
Her. I was behind her.
Y'all heard on stage. You all heard out in the audience.
Oh
though, right?
Yeah,
it was one of the biggest laughs of the night. And it wasn't like, oh my God, they got it wrong. It was more like, oh my God. Like
actually,
I know what they're trying to do, and it's just not
working. That happened.
It's so much fun.
In the Will and Alana fight when they're fighting. Accidentally, Alana's hat fell off, and lovely Becky was brilliant enough to be like, look over there! And the whole cast just like followed her and like
That's
turned around
amazing.
To make sure that we're looking at Alana beat a woman.
It
was like so brilliant. And again, it was like bringing the audience in and just letting them have it and laughing hysterically about it.
We love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love, like, that. Those are those moments where. Again, I think you've all done an incredible job of building a show. That I mean, we kind of delved into the politics of, you know, and I'm going to go there because that's just what I do. But I think you've done a brilliant work with creating a room where we're all there with you and really having an experience together. And as you all so beautifully said earlier, I think we all really want that. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be invited in. As an audience member.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to have you.
Just saying. Thanks, Kevin.
So polite.
I mean, I'm just saying, it was a really lovely crowd tonight.
It was a great house tonight.
Even if there are three or four fewer people in the audience than we had today, it feels different. And we've always had at least one really great laugher. who comes to see. I mean, every show has had one, at least one person who's just
says, "Come along, audience, follow me."
Yeah,
I'm usually that guy. So,
was that you today?
Well, I didn't need to be that guy. There were many of us. There were many of us. Excuse me.
I was
going to
talk about you later, but
yeah,
thank you for correcting me.
I'm glad I caught myself. You're looking very professorly right now, actually, too. Yeah. Once you threw on the glasses with the
sweater.
Yeah.
I'm sort of on, but sort of off. Yeah, I'm sort of doing an 80s
You could be my
thing.
Professor.
It's like Jim J. Bullock meets Robert Brady.
I think this is the time to bring it to a natural end. Thank you all so much for doing this, and thank you for a very beautiful show.
Thank you, Robert. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
Talk about it.
What?
Thank you, Kevin, Matthew, and Rocio, for hanging out to chat. You've got just one more weekend to catch Marion, or The True Tale of Robin Hood, from Flux Theater Ensemble at The New Ohio, 154 Christopher Street in Manhattan. From the posting of this episode on Tuesday, February 7th, you can catch the show nightly at 8 p.m. through Saturday, February 11th, 2017. Head to fluxtheater.org, and that's theater with an R-E, for a link to tickets, details on Flux's amazing living ticket program, and more info on the show. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeASHow. Follow at GoSeeASHow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
You guys are great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Seriously, I needed that.